You are Locked On Spurs, your daily San Antonio Spurs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Jeff Garcia, and this is Locked On Spurs. Welcome back to Locked On Spurs on the Locked On Podcast Network. And you know, they say it's the little things that matter, whether it be at work, or in this case, on a basketball court. And that little thing that matters for San Antonio has been quietly under the radar, and I think it's starting to get some, you know, attention now, and that being free throws. Let's face it, the Spurs are getting it done at the free throw line. That charity stripe has been largely part of some of their success this season, at least in those 17 wins so far. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to be discussing the Spurs and their hot shooting from the free throw line, and also wrap up the show talking about tonight's Spurs Timberwolves matchup. So, you know, if we're going to talk about free throws, might as well talk to the expert, Jim. I'm going to start calling you the expert on this. My colleague Jim Lefko is joining this episode of Locked On Spurs, and he recently wrote a column about the Spurs and their historic steps at the charity stripe. Jim, welcome back to Locked On Spurs. And my goodness, you were on this topic way before it's starting to, you know, get some eyes, at least this week.
Well, thank you for calling me an expert, and I assume you're talking not about my free throw shooting ability, but my ability to maybe find a trend when I can see one.
Yeah.
You know, I try to write a column a week for the website, and I was just struck by that number that the Spurs were shooting about 10 days or so ago, and it was over 80%. And I've been around the game long enough to know that's pretty good. So I started doing a little bit of research, and the all-time Spurs record for a season for team free throw shooting is 80.7%. And right now, you know, through about the three-quarter or the one-third mark of the season, the Spurs are converting at 83.3%. And so, again, if you're decent at math, like I sometimes pretend to be, that's about 2.5% better than their all-time record. So that got my attention. It's not only first in the NBA, better than teams like Golden State, you know, which, you know, everybody would assume is great at free throw shooting, but it's historically in a number that right now, if the season were to end, would be the best free throw shooting season in the history of the NBA. And that gets more attention. Right now they're at 83.3%, which is a little bit higher than the 83.19% that Boston shot in 89-90. You know, it's a long season. They probably won't stay at that same level. But, hey, you find your columns where you can. And right now in late December, little Christmas early for the Spurs at the foul line. Those are called free throws, and the Spurs are certainly making opponents pay for putting them there.
Yeah, San Antonio is definitely cashing in at the charity stripe. You look at what the Spurs have done in the last seven games. Jim, they're number one in the league when it comes to converting those free throws. I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, they're hovering a little over 83%, at least in the last seven games.
Yep, and overall, again, 83.3. So I think a lot of that, too, is that their best free throw shooters are going to the line the most often, which kind of is intuitive. You know, when you've got guys like DeMar DeRozan or LaMarcus Aldridge who are always going to be over 80%, shooting most of your free throws, that's a good sign. You've got other guys you know, doing the same thing, though, that maybe don't get to the line quite as often. Guys like Davis Bertans, who last time I checked, he was over 90%.
Wow.
That doesn't hurt. And he doesn't shoot, you know, nearly as many as some of these other guys, but still, it all helps. And there really are not any bad free throw shooters on this team. They've only got two or three that are under 80%. And, again, those aren't guys that shoot that often. That shoot foul shots like Pau Gasol, Jakob Poeltl, you know, guys like that. And then you've got others who have made, you know, huge leaps. The one that comes to mind is Bryn Forbes, who this year has turned into a really good free throw shooter. And I think a lot of people are surprised at that because if they remember last year, you know, he was under 70%.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's been around 80. So not only are the Spurs effective at helping guys develop their shots from the field, but they've also probably worked on his stroke a little bit, and he's shooting more consistently from the foul line, and he's getting there more often. So it's kind of a win-win. And while they may not have played that many close games, you know, where one or two points are going to decide things because of how effective they've been blowing teams out, that still helps set the tone early. You know, when you're 10 for 10 in the first quarter or two quarters, you're not giving away points. And every time the other team misses and you don't, it helps to pad that lead. So it helps in all facets of the game when you convert on, again, what is called a free throw. And so often you have teams, I believe last time I checked, the Lakers were last in the league. And that it's, again, does it directly translate into winning and losing? not always, but boy, it's sure a nice way to start the game, knowing you're going to be converting probably about 80 to 85% of your free throws each night.
Yeah, let's face it, you know, to start the season, the Spurs didn't really get off on the right foot. They're starting to come around of late, winning six of their last seven. But in a season like the Spurs are having right now, I kind of mentioned it in the beginning, you know, it's the little things that could matter between a win or a loss. And in this category, the Spurs are getting it done. Heading into this season, was this something that maybe we could have seen on the horizon, or is this kind of a surprise to you, Jim?
Well, I think I'm surprised at the collective success. DeRozan's been a good free throw shooter his whole career, so is Aldridge. So, again, if they're your money guys, it shouldn't surprise anybody that the Spurs are in the top half of this category. But, boy, to be number one by that wide of a margin, and you hope the law of averages doesn't come in and they settle back under 80. But, you know, you combine that with things like not committing too many fouls, which means they're not sending opponents to the foul line, and not turning the ball over. They lead the league in that as well. So they're maximizing possessions, and they're making the most of it. The only negative would be they don't get there enough. They get there about 22 times a game. And then when you're shooting that effectively, it'd be nice to see them get there even more, maybe get up to, you know, 25 or 30 times a game so they can take advantage of that great shooting. And, you know, some of the other teams in the league are averaging three or four more a game, but that'd be the one thing I would say is that, you know, if you're going to convert at that kind of a rate, get there more often. Because, again, nobody's guarding you when you're at that foul line. And top to bottom, from the starters to the reserves, people are hitting their free throws. And I know as a fan, it's fun, too, to not watch your team miss free throws.
Yeah.
There's nothing more aggravating because it can become contagious. You know, one guy goes one for two, the next guy goes one for two, and somebody else is struggling. And before you know it, you know, you're 60 or 65% from the free throw line for the game. And you're just giving away points when you do that. So I've long maintained that you know, you can make whatever you want out of statistics, but I don't see any negative out of being an excellent shooting free throw team. And that's what the Spurs have been so far.
There was a stretch when LaMarcus Aldridge, a stretch of games that is, when LaMarcus Aldridge was, you know, not being the LaMarcus Aldridge we know, he was only getting to the line, I believe it was for about a good three, four game span, five times a game. That was what he's averaging. That was not good. I didn't know if that was maybe in his part. Maybe he's just not being aggressive, or maybe he just wasn't getting the calls. I don't know. Did you catch that during at least a part of the season right up to where we're at now?
Yeah, I think now that he's shooting with more confidence, you know, he's probably going to get a few more trips to the line.
Mm-hmm.
Before, there was really no reason to contest because he was slumping. But right now, DeRozan goes to the line 6.3 times a game. So he's shooting the most free throws, which still seems a little bit low. But again, he's shooting mid-range jumpers. He doesn't go to the hole maybe as often as some. So that's not a bad number for him. And Aldridge is second at 4.8 free throws a game, right along with what you were saying. Nobody else is really anywhere close to those two. And nobody's even averaging three free throws a game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rudy Gay, about two a game. Pau Gasol, when he was playing, about two a game. So, you know, this isn't a team, because they do shoot so many perimeter jump shots, usually jump shooters don't get fouled as much. So I don't think they're going to change their game just to get more free throws. But it is interesting to note that most of the free throw attempts and of course, the free throws made are coming from the big two, DeRozan and Aldridge.
What I like about the stat, not only that they're making their shots at a very high clip right now, is balance. And what I mean by that is not only are they getting point production of late from the mid-range, from the three-point shot, because I think that's also another category the Spurs are leading right now, again, during this seven-game stretch. They're tops in the NBA three-point percentage. But I like the balance, knowing that, okay, they're going to get a little scoring from the free throw line, as you pointed out in your excellent article at the Spurs Zone News for San Antonio on Fox 29, sanantonio.com. But they're getting from the mid-range, from the three-point shot, causing other players to foul them, to send them to the free throw line, maybe, and it should be at a higher clip. But nevertheless, I like the balance I see on the offensive end, Jim.
Well, that's a good point, and I think part of that balance is because you haven't seen the starters playing in the fourth quarter. You know, they've had 20-point leads, in the last six games, five of which they hung on to win, one of which they famously didn't. But what that's meant for Popovich is he doesn't have to play his star players in the fourth quarter. And that's where the balance comes in. You know, if you've got the end of your bench in there, they're going to get more opportunities. And, of course, their confidence is going to grow. And when they do have to play in crunch time, they'll be a little bit more seasoned, especially the young guys. So your point's a good one. I think if every game was coming down to the wire –
we'd be seeing many more minutes for Aldridge, DeRozan, Gay, those kind of guys, and they'd be taking more of a percentage of both the field goal and free throw attempts. But that's one of the luxuries of blowing out opponents, is you don't have to overuse your players,
yeah,
especially in December when you still got three or more heavy months ahead of you.
I believe it was in the recent win over Orlando, or should be the cakewalk that they had over the Magic. DeMar only played 30 minutes, and you might be thinking, the listener might be thinking, 30 minutes is a lot, but you got to keep this in mind. He's been hovering around 37, 38 minutes per game. So to get him an extra breather and some time on the bench to relax, recoup, and, ice up, I think that's huge, not only for DeMar, but for LaMarcus, for Rudy Gay especially, and he's been playing great. Again, being able to get the job done at the free throw line, at least in this stretch of game, has allowed the Spurs to build big leads to give some of their star players some rest, Jim.
Yeah, and one of the stats you don't want to lead the league in is minutes played. That's a negative statistic. Again, it's usually something the stars do, the James Hardens of the world, that they need to have on the court. But in a balanced offense and one that's winning, like the Spurs are, you shouldn't have to play guys heavy minutes. And by heavy, anything in the mid to upper 30s is considered heavy minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, DeRozan about 34.9 minutes, and that's down a little bit, again, because of the blowouts. And the only other one over 30 is Aldridge.
Mm-hmm.
As these guys get through the rigors of the season, you'd love to see those minutes drop, along with the wins picking up, because that's a perfect scenario. So
yeah,
it's not all going to be this easy. We've mentioned before, when a team's winning, it never looks better. And when a team's
mm-hmm.
losing, it never looks worse. And then, to be honest, I don't think either time is the best to evaluate a team. You kind of need to find that norm. Right now, the Spurs are riding a nice winning streak. They're getting to rest their players. They're hitting their free throws, making their threes, and they're not turning the ball over. So
yeah,
it's kind of a perfect scenario for the team right now.
Exactly. Kudos to the Spurs for getting it done at the charity stripe. To read more about the free throw percentage that the Spurs are just converting at a historic rate right now, you need to go to the Spurs Zone. Just go to News 4 San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com, click on Sports, click on the Spurs Zone, Jim's article, which breaks down what the Spurs are doing at the charity stripe, is there. Give it a read, tweet it out, share it on social media, talk about it. Jim and I would love to hear you react to his column. You can follow him at Jim Lefko and me at Jeff G. Spurs Zone on Twitter. So Jim and I, we're going to take our first break. We get back, we're going to take a look ahead at tonight's matchup, Spurs hosting the Timberwolves. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by my colleague at News 4 San Antonio, Jim Lefko. Jim, the Spurs, they're playing really good right now outside of that boneheaded loss to Chicago. They took care of business in Orlando and then some, and on the road to boot. Now they're coming back to San Antonio, where they've excelled, 5-1 in their recent homestand, six-game homestand, that is. And tonight they're playing a team that they've split the first two meetings, but in the last meeting, Minnesota really took it to San Antonio.
Yeah, that was a disturbing loss, as a lot of the Spurs losses seem to be. I guess there's never such thing as a good loss, but you mentioned the Chicago loss, and that would be near the top of horrible losses.
Mm-hmm.
And, probably in the top five would be the loss to Minnesota earlier that was lopsided, and the Spurs didn't look particularly competitive or defensive-minded. I think they've turned a corner defensively. I think now you're going to get more consistent effort there. It being at home, I mean, the key is always control the superstars. And Carl Anthony Towns and LaMarcus Aldridge, pretty good matchup. I kind of like the Spurs' chances on that one. Derrick Rose, to me, is kind of one of the more
mm-hmm.
intriguing characters for the Timberwolves. A lot of people thought his career was over. And the two games that Spurs have had against them, he's shown flashes of his former brilliance, and he's averaging 19 points a game. So not to be discounted. That's a pretty good big two with Carl Anthony Towns and Derrick Rose. They've got some good supporting players. Like Jeff Teague at the point, he's
right.
presenting problems for the Spurs. Has in the past. He's quick. He can score. He's a great passer. Averages about 8 assists a game. Remember back in the day when there were teams that had point
mm-hmm.
guards that averaged assists, 8 or 10 a game. So it's a good balanced team. I think a lot of people thought they'd be off to a better start. And right now they're in that spot where the Spurs were, which is 14th in the West at 14-17. So
mm-hmm.
I didn't have them pegged for, being that far down the standings. But as we've talked about before, you've got about you know, 10 or 12 teams that are all vying within 4 or 5 games of each other. So I expect Minnesota to put together at some point. Spurs fans would probably hope that that's not tonight.
Yeah, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jim, but I think latest, at least yesterday, was that Jeff Teague may be out of action tonight versus San Antonio. So if he's not going to play, then that's great news for San Antonio. One less headache to worry about. But, you know, you mentioned Derrick Rose. You know, he's coming off a tremendous performance, 33 points in his last outing. So just because he's coming in with that history of knee issues and injuries left to right does not mean that he can still light up a team. And
right.
The Spurs perimeter defenders got to be ready for that.
Yeah, and again, I always go down to who's the more desperate team. You know, so often in sports, it's not who's the best team, it's who's more desperate, you know, who needs to win more. And, you know, you might argue that Minnesota's a more desperate team because they're down there in 14th place and the Spurs are riding high with, what, 6 of their last 7.
Right.
I will note, though, that Minnesota is 2-12 away from home. So you would think that if the Spurs come out firing nearly, you know, even close to as well as they did at Orlando and apply that kind of suffocating defense that has been holding teams under 100 points, you got to like the Spurs' chances. But in this instance, I would certainly think that the Timberwolves are a little bit more desperate than the Spurs, who are riding high right now.
And let's keep this in mind. This is again, a different Minnesota team than maybe the Spurs have faced. Gone is Jimmy Butler. He got traded to Philadelphia, you know, and they brought in the new part, Covington and Saric. Of course, they got Cat, that's Karl-Anthony Towns, and Andrew Wiggins. This is still a team that, yeah, maybe they don't have Jimmy Butler, but they're still, you know, if you let your guard down, they'll be able to punch you right in the mouth, and you'll be, next thing you know, Spurs will be looking up at the scoreboard, and they see, oh, we're down heading into the fourth quarter.
Well, if there's a positive from the Spurs' 15 losses, it's that they get a little bit of a chance to exact some retribution for the teams that have defeated them, and they've been pretty good at that. You know, that homestand was filled with teams that have beaten the Spurs that the Spurs got some revenge on, and this would be another one. You know, we've mentioned a couple of times that the Timberwolves had their way with the Spurs the last time they played. So I would think that's going to be, you know, front of mind for the Spurs, and you don't want to lose twice to a team that, who knows, at the end of the season you might you know, be in a tie with or need some kind of tiebreaker advantage. And you got them at home and you've got them right where you want them. And the schedule's been pretty kind to the Spurs. You know, they've had some days off between games. This is the start of a back-to-back, but they shouldn't be tired. You know, that was a relatively easy road trip to Orlando after a couple weeks at home. So I think all signs point to the Spurs being in a good spot right now. And they're about as healthy as they've been, you know, in the past couple months. So, you know, other than the guys that have been out, you know, most of the season, the Gasols and Murrays, you know, I think everybody else should be there and ready to contribute.
Yeah, San Antonio, you know, should have at least a stat on their side, and that being heading tonight's contest, Minnesota is winless on the road versus West teams this season, going 0-11. So Minnesota does not have much luck when it comes to facing Western Conference teams away from their gym. Okay, so what we're going to do now is take our final break. When we get back, we're going to dive a little deeper into tonight's matchup, as well as give our game prediction. Okay, we are back, and I'm joined by Jim Lefko. Follow him on Twitter at Jim Lefko. Jim, when I look at tonight's contest, I just look at LaMarcus Aldridge versus Karl-Anthony Towns. Is that the key matchup, or is there another matchup that perhaps we should be looking at?
Well, I think that, yeah, you've identified, you know, two of the best players on both teams, and they're matched up against each other. So that, to me, would be the matchup that's going to probably determine how things go. And I like that one for the Spurs. You know, Aldridge has experience. He's got the fact he's on his home court, been shooting very effectively lately, been rebounding really well. So it's not like he has to win that one by a large margin. If they offset each other and the rest of the team picks up where they need to, that's fine. So I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Towns and Aldridge both go for 20 and 10. Which would be indicate that Aldridge is in the flow of the game and doing what he needs to do. So in this instance, when, you know, arguably the two best players or two of the three best players on the court guarding each other, that'll be an interesting matchup to watch, but I don't expect either one of the two to dominate the other. They're both too good for that.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's the key matchup of tonight. You know, LMA versus Cat, two of the better big men in the league. You got the elder statesman versus the young buck, you know, so we'll see how that matchup plays out. Hopefully it'll work in San Antonio's favor. I'm also looking at, obviously, I mentioned it before, Derrick Rose, you know, Bryn Forbes, Patty Mills, you know, DeMar DeRozan. Yeah, you know, seeing how they do contend do defensively against him. He's quietly been having a pretty solid season for, you know, for his standards, you know, stepping up for Minnesota of late. So, like to see how they do that. And, of course, if they don't have Minnesota, doesn't have Jeff Teague, Spurs should be able to at least, you know, contend with the Minnesota perimeter guards. Jim, we talked about it. We broke it down a little bit. How do you see tonight's action coming down when that final buzzer goes off?
Well, I believe in consistency, and the Spurs have been pretty consistent. And again, with that Chicago aberration notwithstanding, they've been shooting the ball very well, and they've been holding teams under 100. So I'm looking for the continuation of the trend, and I think there's a good chance that this one gets lopsided too. I'm going to go with 110 to 95, Spurs over the T-Wolves.
I'm right with you. I'm thinking the Spurs should be able to pull out this win. I think it'll be a little closer than that. You know, the Spurs, you know, obviously play well at home. They got a huge advantage at the AT&T Center. Minnesota is scrappy, and, you know, they play a little, they're playing looser now that Jimmy Butler is gone. But they're still below 500. They, you know, dropped a few games they maybe should not have dropped heading into tonight's contest. But nevertheless, I see San Antonio getting the W tonight and continuing. I think, what would that be, three games in a row if they get the win? So,
yeah, it would be nice, yeah, if they drop that that game against Chicago. That you know, we keep talking about it. You know, that also can be a positive in one respect. If they keep that front of mind and realize that's what happens if you don't play, you know, four quarters, I think it's helped motivate them the last couple of games and realize that even a team like the Bulls that's last in the East that seemed out of it down by 20-some-odd points, they can still come back. So I think that served as a bit of motivation for the Spurs in the past couple of games, and good for them. They learned from a bad outing. And, you know, if they continue to play the way they've been playing, I think we'll look back at that as potentially something that helped motivate them, certainly through the holiday season and maybe even toward the All-Star break.
Yeah, and picking up a win versus Minnesota should help them because the schedule is about to get a little tougher for them. You got a double date with Denver. We know Toronto's coming in, Boston. So, you know, some heavy hitters are on the horizon for San Antonio. Hopefully the Spurs can pick up wins against teams that they should win, that being Minnesota tonight in San Antonio. But Jim and I, we're done talking. We want to hear what you have to say. How do you see tonight's contest going down? Thinking the Spurs are going to win, or you thinking the Wolves may get a win at the AT&T Center? Or how about their free throw percentage? We talked about it. Jim has an excellent article about the Spurs from the Charity Stripe. Go to the Spurs Zone. We urge you. News for San Antonio, Fox29SanAntonio.com. Spurs coverage there practically almost nonstop. From Jim's column about free throw percentage to even the wild and wacky such as Shemezi Metu dunking on a player at the G League Showcase and then flexing on him. It's all there for Spurs fans to enjoy. So please go to the Spurs Zone. And, of course, follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Lefko. And Jim, real quick. Did you see that Shemezi Metu flexing on that guy?
Nobody, you can bet your bottom dollar I'm going to go check it out. It sounds great.
Yeah, he put him on a poster and then some. Go to the Spurs Zone, check it out. But for Jim Lefko, I am Jeff Garcia. We're going to put a lock on this episode of Locked On Spurs.